this is the big week for architect Paul. Let me explain to you what you'll get here. This is now all four bills, not the treaty. No, it's not the treaty. Now, I've asked them to do a really big package. I've asked them to give you firstly the A list. That is the actual amendment that we'll be voting on, okay? The A list. Then I've asked them to, sometimes they will order like with four, they'll also then attach a bill that contains that A-list. Okay, that's the same thing. And then I've asked them to, of course, give you an app with the color, the way that bill fits into the app, so you can check. Now, of course, it could be in the doing all this work that some of the here and there, when they colored it in, they may leave out something or they may be too much. Right? Then what you look at, you of course look at the bill. That's the correct version, okay, because it's not colored. It's not colored, then also just remind me about that. So that is what you'll get for the bills. And then usually there's a resolution that's also attached. Now that resolution, don't worry about it yet. We'll look at that later. When we pass the bills next week, we'll look at those because I'm still working on those resolutions, tightening them up and so on. So really your bill and your app should be what you have. That is for all four of them are here, but ignore the other one at the moment, because I sat down with the department last night, and you know the issue of the MSC and the minister and that, that wasn't going to work, and then I told them we'll take out the MSC, and then I rethought it legally, and I said put it back, but we've now put a clause in, what will happen if the MSC doesn't do what they should be doing? You know, because if you give it to them, they don't do it. So I've now asked them to redo that stuff. And then the stuff on what the CER raised with us was that Section 22A is not necessary because we already got 24G. I said now for ages listening to the department why that is not so. So we're trying to rework that in a way that it makes more sense. Now, they say they've got drafts this morning. I haven't had time to look at them. I'll try and do that in the lunch. So at this stage, just most of the aqua stuff you can do with those two clauses, we're redoing, okay? So, but then the other three, all the amendments you suggested, I've looked at them, I've checked that they're in there, it should be all okay, right? As I said, it's only aqua. So you should get this pile. They've got a problem with the printers have run out, so hopefully today we can get it to you so that on Thursday you can take it to your caucus. Then, you don't need this, but they've also done me a slide presentation of the four bills, which I haven't, I'm busy correcting it. If any of you wanted to use your presentation, you can of course change it the way you want it, but it just makes your life easier work-wise. I hopefully should have that ready by, say, Wednesday or so, checking this up and cleaning it up and so on, okay? So if you want it for you, you're welcome to use that, of course. All right, and then you'll sort out the tomorrow for Nemla too. All right, any issues around that? So you'll have the bills. There is a slide presentation. You want to use that for presentation. That'll be ready, hopefully. The aqua will be ready. And then tomorrow we'll have Nemla 2 ready for voting. And then the next 2 days we'll spend on Nemla 3, okay? Do you have copies of those documents? There are enough for members? You giving it to them? Okay. Alright, then we did do a press statement on waste. Then on the waste, we have done a press statement. We'll release it today or tomorrow. Obviously, we're not going to be able to look at waste this year because if we give a press statement now, I mean, where the submissions have been in Parliament has risen. But what it will mean is that we'll have submissions to do public hearings in the beginning of next year, okay, on the waste. They are also, remember, we raised a whole lot of issues, particularly around the agency, that we don't want more boards and things. So they're really looking at that in any case already, even before the public hearings is taking place. Now, next week, obviously, hopefully after the caucuses, next week we'll vote Tuesday. We'll start the voting at 9 o'clock on the four bills, plus the two treaties. If we run over to the next, we may run over into the next day. We'll do so. Then the next day we'll do the public hearings on water research. There are three submissions there. Have you sent it to the members? Okay, send those submissions to members so that they have it by next Wednesday, okay? And next Wednesday we'll then do the water research. We'll just do the public hearings, and then of course the department has to go back. I don't think we'll be able to then process that any further. At least the public hearings are done. Then they can go do their summaries and stuff. If we have time this year still, then we'll do it, but if not, we'll also stand over to January so that we can then just process the bill. That's a very technical thing. Remember, it's the creation of updating that bill and stuff. And I don't think there's going to be anything controversial there. So that'll be the program, and then on the last day, we'll then do the Wednesday of the last day, we'll then do those constituency stuff. Where is Shireen? Eve, where is she? Oh, she is there. Yeah, but she's short. Hello. How are you? Shireen, get the department, sit on the two departments to get responses on all those constituency issues, okay? And then please, members, you must now, if there are new constituency issues, please do me a half page or a page just to say this is what the issue is, so that we can then send a package to the departments beforehand, at least a week before, so that they can come prepared when we ask those questions, okay? Please remember that. That will be on the last Wednesday of the term. That Tuesday, we're not sure we'll sit, no, there's no briefing on waste. We'll do waste only after we've got submissions from the public. It wouldn't be a briefing. I think that's all the program stuff. Any comments, any questions, any issues? Okay. Alright. Now, for today, what is it? I've got one already. Don't I? Do I have the same as this?
Yes.
The package you gave me is the same as it?
Yes.
Alright. So I don't need that as well. Alright, so how do you want to start this, Mr. Do you want to start with that?
Chair, I think if we start with a dialectical representation, it would give the members good sense of what would happen practically. So I think if we can get them on that to just explain that diagram, it might be useful before we get into the substance of the act.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure. I think we should actually move to the second slide. The third slides are basically what this committee has seen before. It's the process flow and the time frames and the different steps and the times allocated to the different steps. What we have done, thank you, Sibusiso, is to just give you, by means of a flow diagram, an indication of the regulations that give effect to the different time frames as per the process. Thank you. The BAR process is a basic assessment process, which the maximum length of time is 197 days. There are different time frames for the different steps that add up to the 197 days, and the little blocks in below are the regulations that give effect to those time frames. So starting from the right-hand corner on the top, the application in terms of the MPRDA that needs to be accepted and being a prerequisite for the LIMA application to be accepted is given effect to in regulation 12.3A. I believe that your packs also contain the actual proposed amendment to the regulations. So that is given effect to in regulation 12.3A. Then on the left-hand side, the process steps. The 7 days for acknowledgement are given effect to in Regulation 1.7 and Regulation 13.2. The 30 days for public participation are given effect to in three regulations. Regulation 6 is a generic one that states that 30 days is the minimum time required for public participation in any of the documentation that forms part of the process. Regulation 21.2a speaks specifically about the basic assessment report and the requirement for 30 days public participation on that. And Regulation 53.2 speaks about the environmental management program that is also subject to a 30-day public participation period. The 30 days plus the 60 days for the reworking of the draft basic assessment report, which then calculates to 90 days, is given effect to in Regulation 23.1a. If you page to that regulation, you will see the reference to 90 days. Then, once the final basic assessment report and the final EPR has been submitted, there's once again a 7 days period for acknowledgement thereof and 30 days for the competent authority to either accept or reject the report. That is given effect in Regulation 24.1 and 24.2. And once those two reports are accepted, the authority has 20 days to issue the environmental authorization in terms of NEMA, and that is given effect in Regulation 25.1a. If there are substantive differences between the final report and the draft one that was submitted, it must be subject to the public participation again, so that registered, interested and affected parties could make their comments known, and that is given effect in Regulation 23.1b. And that, in short, is how the regulations give effect to the agreed-to timeframe for basic assessment. Sipu, if you then go 2 slides down, which is the last slide. It is the scoping and EIA process. Basically, the same principle applies. It's just the lengthier process because there's an additional document that forms part of the process. Once again, the NPRDA application having been accepted is a prerequisite. It is again given effect to in Regulation 12.3 and Regulation 26.3. The 7 days for acknowledgement is given effect in Regulation 1.7 and Regulation 13.2. The same rules apply with regards to public participation, minimum of 30 days. That is given effect in Regulation 6.4, the generic one, and 27.b for the documentation that comes in with the application, that is the application itself and the draft scoping report. Then there's an additional 10 days for the environmental assessment practitioner, the EAP, to incorporate the comments from the public participation process. And it's 7 plus the 30 plus the 10 days, then I calculate the 47 days, which is given effect in Regulation 29.1. Once the final scoping report is received, the competent authority once again has to acknowledge that within 7 days, and then it has 35 days to either accept or reject that report. That calculates the 42 days, which is given effect in Regulation 31. The applicant then has 60 days to go and do the actual impact assessment as based on the approved and accepted scoping report. That is given effect in Regulation 31A2. A draft environmental impact report, EIR, and a draft environmental management program is then submitted. It's again subjected to 30 days public participation for interested and affected parties, which is given effect in Regulation 31A3A and Regulation 33.2. And the applicant then has 14 days to go and finalize and incorporate the comments that came in from the public participation process. The 30 days plus 14 days calculated to 44 days, which is then given effect in Regulation 34.1. The final environmental impact report and the environmental management program is then submitted, and it needs to be acknowledged and accepted or rejected within the timeframes as stipulated in the flow diagram. That's given effect in Regulation 34.2. And once the reports have been accepted, the authority has to issue the environmental authorization decision within 20 days from that, and that is given effect through Regulation 35.1. Once again, there are substantive differences between what was the final versus the draft environmental impact report and the environmental management program. the interested and affected parties must once again be given an opportunity to have a look at that and provide any comments, and that is provided for in Regulation 34. And that, Chair, in a nutshell, is how we've given effect to the time frame.
All right, now the important thing is, Mr. Abada, you guys are sure now after the discussion you've had, you've heard the amendment, we're going to discuss it now, the Act and so on. You're happy that you made your further amendments to the regulations and that everything is tight? Can you give me that assurance?
Chair, I am assured that I am advised as a lawyer.
Who's
going to
give me that assurance? Whose head can I have if it's not...
Well, see, my head is on the block. So,
and as long as you guys, look, the thing is, it's humanly impossible for me or any of these members to fully know, even if we're going to read through all this, whether we can achieve this. So your expertise is the important part. And the important thing for me is just that the processes are very clearly stipulated, the one after the other after the other. If you're happy with that, then I'm happy. I mean, obviously, there can be a mistake somewhere.
Just maybe to give the committee an assurance, you can see our team sitting along here. There's quite a few experts that have worked in their specific areas relating to the regulations and the Act as well. We've also had interaction with the DMR colleagues and also with our water affairs colleagues. So if that's any consolation in terms of process here, we have had all these meetings.
Guys, just consulted everyone on board, and so on, so on, so on. All right, so that gives us the idea this thing works like we want it to work. Now, remember there were a few issues we raised. The one was the issue of the definition of mining. Remember people raised the possibility, look, there's always a possibility of constitutional challenge, and here there is a possibility of constitutional challenge because you're allowing environmental functions to be dealt with by your mining minister. There's always a chance of that being challenged. Of course, just the other way around, if we would give the power all to the environment minister to make mining decisions, there was equally a chance for a challenge. But the issue then is how you do it, what extent you try and limit the damage of it. And one of the areas that we were worried about is that if you make a definition too wide of the mining area, remember it spoke about adjacent areas and so on, if you make that too wide, then your chance of a constitutional challenge actually working gets bigger. So exponentially, there are ways of trying to reduce it. So that was the one issue. The other issue was all these appeal procedures. Ultimately, the minister must do all the appeal procedures. And that was not necessarily in line. So that was the second issue. Then the third issue, we said you shouldn't give powers at different levels without the possibility of intervention. If things aren't going wrong and that institution doesn't operate, and you then lock it into a system, so you must allow for intervention. Remember intervention powers. So that was the third big thing. As far as I recall, those were the three big issues, is it? Any other big issues?
Also, the amendments.
Oh, the amendments. The amendments can't be amended without permission. That was the fourth issue, fourth big issue. Otherwise, the agreement can start unraveling and so on. So those were the four big issues. So then when we look at the amendments now, obviously we have comment from the public, so we'll see what they've said and what our comment is. But the big thing is that those four issues, must make sure it's covered in the amendments, okay? All right, so you've got your pack of documents in front of you. In your pack, what is there? There's firstly a summary of the comments.
Yeah, the comments and response report, followed by the consolidated NEMA, which includes the amendments as the bill was tabled. Those are highlighted in yellow. And the areas that require further amendment proposed by the department are highlighted in green. And the areas highlighted in red, those are the proposals that we see from the public with respect to the comment that they submitted the last time. So actually in certain...
The red ones, do you agree with it or do we still need to discuss it? As you put it in as amendments on the public, but we'd have to, or do you think that they should be in? don't necessarily agree with
them. Chair, we've put them in as comments from the public, but we haven't formed a view on them yet. So we can deliberate them as we go through them.
All right. Okay. But the green ones you have formed a view on, and that is what you're suggesting. All right. So that needs to be done.
I touched the flow diagram that Amanda was referring to, as well as the EIA regulations. The areas highlighted in yellow, those are the areas that we want to make amendments on. And we've also attached the
EIA regulations, National Extension Regulations,
as well as the appeals regulations.
Oh, this thick one after the Act.
Yes,
that's your EIA regulations.
Yes.
And the yellow is what you're proposing to amend.
Yes.
And other colors now?
The other color just comments that it's just to remind ourselves when we ever do that the cost referencing is okay and all those things at the end. But I think the main thing is the highlighted yellow areas, because those are the areas that we're going to change as per the diagram that Amanda has indicated there. And the last.
Then you've added waste here, but that we should have. So it's there, but just ignore it, okay?
Yeah.
Until we process that bill further. Okay. So let's start with the amendments.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The first amendment is highlighted in green on the definition of applicants. On section 1, we are proposing to add those underlying words. I think this is just to make sure that we properly align in terms of the applicant as per the person that should apply for an environmental authorization.
Applicant means the person has submitted an application for an environmental authorization to the competent authority and has paid the prescribed fee. The rest of you want to delete?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's on the actual Consolidated Act. It's on section 1, the definitions.
It's before the
regulation.
No, there are no pages. So. It's this one. You go to the Act, and then we start processing it, okay? And it's on the section 1, on the first page of section 1.
Mm.
The applicant.
The applicant.
You'll see the comments on these are a document before the Act. Here's the comments, okay? But last time I asked them to actually make the amendments in the Act so it's easier to read than just what a word that they said, okay? That's why they put the red in here, which hasn't been processed. You got it, Mr. Scusano, okay? All right, any issues there, any problems? Seems quite straightforward. Except the green, of course. I don't know how you read green.
Then the next screen is on the definition of community. This one we want to align it with the MPRE bill in terms of what do they mean about community with respect specifically on those activities that relate to mining. So that definition as it currently highlighted green areas is similar to the one as contained currently in the MPRD bill. So we wanted to make sure that the alignment is proper between the two bills.
Related to environmental matters pertaining to prospecting mining exploration or production or related activity on a prospecting mining exploration or production area means that interested or protected party and a coherent social group of persons which interests or rights in a particular area of land which the members have or exercise communally in terms of an agreement, custom, or law. Okay.
seems coherent. And so, any comments?
The next.
The moment that there's something missing there, I mean, shouldn't we say? I mean, here you just say the future is all right in a particular area of land. Now, how does that relate back to? I mean, it should only be land on which mining is going to take place, not a particular. I mean, if it's wide like this, that means any land. I mean, it means I have a piece of land in in Pineland where I live, and I can be a coherent social group and raise something about a mine in Rustenburg, if you're going to word it like this. It seems to me maybe we want us to relate this back to...
But Jeff, if you look at the plan part, that's how we try to do that, in relation to massive extent, prospecting mining, etc.
Yeah, but that makes it worse. Because if you then make it vague and wide at the end, maybe just a particular. Isn't there one word for prospecting, mining, exploration, or production area? Isn't there a single word? Why do we use such a long?
Because there's different activities here.
No, the activities are before that. Now you refer to the area. Isn't mining area defined where it says? Isn't it in relation to environmental matters pertaining to prospecting data in a mining area? You have to repeat all this.
I think there we've tried to, on 24C, which we'll come to, Chair, we've tried to limit the actual activity in that area where the mining rights have been issued.
Yeah.
So I think you can use the same wording as the 24C.
You just use that wording here and at the bottom here. Okay.
Okay.
So if you now redefine a mining area elsewhere and made it narrow because of why the discussion we had, then use those words here twice. At the top and the bottom. Okay. So amend. Actually, let's go and sort that out. What section did you say this?
It's section 24, capital letter C.
24.
Section 2, capital letter A.
24 C to A. The Minister of Minerals Government be identified as a competent authority where the listed activity consists of prospecting, mining, reconnaissance, exploration, or production. As contemplated in that, in the area for which the right has been applied for. That's how you try to narrow those words, in the area for which the right has been applied for.
Because we were advised that the right is issued to a particular area. That in the application, when you submit that application, you clearly define that area. So when that right, when that mining right is issued only for that particular area. So we try to in this the competency of the Minister of Mineral Resources to also link it with only to that specific area, not other than that.
The doesn't that Act of Day say that the minister has the authority over the whole country and then can decide on a particular area where someone has applied for mining that for that area? Is that what that Act does?
Yeah, it gives them, I think that they are defining a mining area very broad, but also what they have done is for some, and Amanda can assist here, some, for example, the prospecting areas, when you apply for prospecting, the area is big because it allows you that space, but then when you then come to the, when we've already discovered what you're looking for, then you apply for that specific area, that's when the mining right application will then confine it to that specific area.
Which the right has been applied for.
Yeah.
Okay. placed accordingly because of that amendment. There may be consequential amendments,
yes.
Amanda. So we'll check it,
yeah.
Alright, that's agreed. Everyone happy with those drafts and they'll come back, but just trying to get that thing narrowed down. Alright, then the next one is environmental management inspector. It's in yellow.
Yeah, this one is just to the environmental management inspector that we are adding the 31BA. When the Act was amended in 2003, I think there was a bit of, there was an omission of the 31BA. BA is the section that allows the Minister of Water Affairs to appoint environmental management inspectors within the Department of Water Affairs. So we just wanted to, it's just a an error that happened in 2003, so just fixing that.
Okay.
And then the Environmental Mineral Resources Inspector definition is a also a consequential amendment because now the Minister of Mineral Resources will now be designating the environmental...
Yes, your reference correct, double B.
Yes.
I've never seen that in my life.
Because currently we have a 31BA.
Yeah, but shouldn't the double B then be in brackets?
It's a section. It's a section. 31BB. Because we're putting it after B.
I've been here for 20 years. I have extensively drafted legislation. I have never seen something called double B.
And after.
Good God, you learn, eh? You learn every day. Okay. Any comments on that? No comments. Then the first, red.
This is a comment that we received from Center for Environmental Rights. This is linked to also the amendments that we'll deal with in Section 24P and 25R dealing with the financial provisions. They wanted us to define what financial provision is, and that is a definition that was suggested.
What is your view?
Yeah, we agree with the proposal chair.
So this financial provision relates to what it is you can use as a mine to put up as, the word's not guarantee, but you, the law says you must put up a certain amount of money so that you have to reclaim. So
yes.
This is stating what it is you can put up.
Yes. Yes.
Financial provision means the insurance, bank guarantee, trust fund, or cash that applicants for or holders of a right permit or environmental authorization must provide in terms of Section 24P, guaranteeing the viability of sufficient funds to undertake the approved works program to undertake, that sounds funny, the approved environmental and management program to undertake the rehabilitation of the impacts of the prospecting mining reclamation or exploration activities, including the pumping and treatment of extraneous water to undertake decommissioning and closure of the operation and to undertake. Oh, it sounds like an undertaker. It sounds like Bob. It sounds like F-Bob that some undertaking here. Undertake remediation of latent and or residual environmental impact which become known in the future. All right, that seems reasonable except for all the undertakes. Maybe you can try and find one way of undertaking and they make A, B, C, D and so on, make it easier.
And also, Chair, because Amanda is reminding me that the right permits, we must also link it to that, the prospecting, mining and exploration areas as well. Because that right speaks to, is that what you...
Okay, we clear up production. We would add that. It's one of the rights that would be subject.
Add production and... reword. Okay. Everyone happy?
Happy.
The next proposed amendment is in mining area. Now here we are.
We are proposing that definition for a mining area.
Oh, so there it is. In relation to any environmental matter, relating to an exploration, prospecting, mining or production means any surface of land that forms part of that area that requires a permit or right in terms of the mineral Act, and for which an environmental authorization is required in terms of this act. But I think that makes it clearer that we, for environmental purposes, that's the area. Now the words related and adjacent are not there, so at least... Now you're saying that's for area, and you're going to create similar wording for exploration, for production, and for reconnaissance, and for...
And for prospecting.
Prospecting. Okay. You guys must sit down, I think, with... I think with this thing here, I don't think we're going to be able to vote on this thing, maybe. I want to finalize it this year, so maybe there's a chance for you to sit down with a proper lawyer that understands these mineral stuff very carefully, not like we trying to technically draft it, but to make sure that the wording of the different things are so that we don't get caught up in court battles because of definition and because we've rewritten stuff. So maybe they'll give you a chance before we pass the bill to be able to do that, okay?
Okay.
All right, any comments on that mining area? And then the others are going to be added? No? Next one, Minister of Mineral Resources, or that's the one?
Yeah, you're just taking out the latter part because we are now confining it to that,
yeah,
to those
yeah,
areas.
Yeah. Now here you see, yeah, I don't see reconnaissance, but I saw you put it in the other one.
No, we are taking out reconnaissance, Chair.
Are we taking it out?
Yeah, we're taking it out, Chair.
Okay. Any problem with that definition? Any comments? No, it seems simple. Then regional mining development is being removed completely?
This is a consequential amendment, Chair, because the decision in terms of the environmental authorization will now be with the Minister of Mineral Resources, and that the competent authority will then have to consider any objections, comments that the public actually submits in terms of that application. Because previously, the Regional Mining Development and Environmental Committee is responsible currently in terms of MLDA to look at objections when applications are submitted. But in terms of the EIA, the competent authority, which is the Minister of Mineral Resources, must actually consider the objections. So, this definition we are taking up because we're not going to use any more in the next
years. For environmental purposes.
Yes.
Right, any comments, questions? Residue deposits?
Residue.
The meaning defined in that act. Residue stockpile, there's a meaning provided in that act. That seems simple. Those are two things that have now been added to the Minister of Minerals, so you need those definitions in this act. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Then we are now getting to the different sections, Chair. The first section is 24. The first
section. So we skip everything to 24?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 24, subsection 5. Roman figure.
Because this bill has 124, then it's got another 1024s added to it. So if you say 24, it's a hell of a lot of stuff.
The 24.
The original 24, looking at that.
Yes, yes, sir.
But I don't see any color here.
24 sub 5.
Oh, yeah, sub 5, yeah.
These are the regulations that the minister would be responsible for developing, Chair. So these regulations will be developed by the minister and it will be implemented by the Department of Mineral Resources.
Oh, so this is regulated. Okay,
yes.
That's fine. Anyone have comment, questions? Okay.
And the next one is the one that we finalized, the 24th Cataleta C. 2A, which we've
done. The one we looked at.
Yes. And then
right, we've given the instructions there.
Yes. And then the next one is the 24C. This is the safety clause, Chair, where the minister responsible for mineral resources does not take the decision of the environment of the application on environmental authorization within the time frame set up in this act. So it basically empowers the minister to then step in and actually make sure that the decision is taken with respect to that.
Okay, so that's the first intervention clause.
Yes.
Okay. And D. So that's 2A. So it's office upon the same thing.
Yes, sir. In the process.
Okay. It's the same as we've done in the other bill.
And yeah, the second amendment.
They've done here as an intervention clause and then use what we've done in the other act and reworded it to make it applicable here. So if the minister doesn't take a decision around environment, the applicant can go to our minister in environment and get the decision taken. And this is the process how they will do so. And that's the process there. Any comments? Any questions? Any issues? See that it's a principle we're trying to bring into all the acts now to make sure things can move. Then, three.
These are consequential amendments here, yes. Regarding to the mandate of Minister of Responsible for Mineral Resources. And the next one here is...
discuss this with Mineral Affairs.
The intervention clause.
Yeah.
Yes, we have submitted it to them, Chair, but I think we're still waiting for their input.
So, when you say you've consulted, you actually just submitted all these things. You haven't sat down with it.
No. Some of it we have consulted with them, Chair. Others we still consult.
24L.
24L is we are. I think Amanda can explain that one better than me, Chair.
Amanda, are you the one who can explain it better?
Chair, we're currently in the middle of litigation because the current wording is potentially a problem, and the wording that is causing the problem is the reference to the joint, the exercising of the powers jointly. The issue, as I understand it, is that by using those words in this section, it means that if you issue an integrated environmental authorization, you still need two signatures. For instance, in our case, we integrate the decision-making for the environmental authorization in terms of NEMA with the Waste Management License in terms of the Waste Act. But the setup in our department is such that only one person signs off on the authorization. And basically, it is fortunate for us that it's our council that said to us that there's a potential problem with this wording, because it means to them that there should be two signatures, basically, on the authorization, which is not currently the case. So we're basically just trying to avoid that.
Who's the respective powers we're referring
to? It's the powers for the competent authority to issue the environmental authorization, and then whoever is the authority to issue the authorization permit or license in terms of any of the specific environmental management acts. In this case, it's the Waste Management License, which follows the exact same process as the environmental authorization. But it basically requires a decision in terms of NEMA and a decision in terms of the Waste Act, which we issue as one integrated authorization with one signature on it. But as part of the litigation, it was highlighted to us that this could be interpreted as a potential problem if we do it that way. And that is why we're trying to just provide new wording so that we don't have that problem. So,
what you're now saying is that if you now spell that clearly, if there's these ones and then ones, then, and they relate to the same activity, you may issue separate authorizations or agree that the competent authority empowered under that may issue an integrated data, including the authorization permit, in concurrence with the waste management license. concurrent with such authority and power in terms of specific acts, provided that the environmental effect as required by such specific environmental say impacts, because then you are not providing for it when there's only an impact. If it's one impact, at least you can then use it. But now let me see if this sentence makes sense. A competent authority found that this issue that an authority issue a permit or license may, and then if that and then that, then let's just say may issue that and may issue that. So you read from the may to the issue and then may to agree, may agree. Well, it seems to make sense. I mean, it reads stuff, but it does. You know, what they've done here is just, instead of jointly, they're just splitting it up so you can do it separately, or you can agree to do it as one. So it's just reworded an original clause because of this court case that they have in. Okay, that seems to be okay. Then on page 24N.
This is a consequential amendment linked to that the Regional Mine Development and Environmental Committee. So we are taking the four.
Yeah. You're taking that committee out as well.
Yes. So this is consequential.
And you're taking reconnaissance out.
Yes.
Now here's the red again, notwithstanding.
This is a comment also by the CER. It talks to the actual liability of directors of a company that might be jointly and severally liable for any negative impacts that might be caused by that activity. They requested that we should have this clause because in 2008 when the amendment was made, this clause was removed under the MRDA. So if it's lost there, then must put it under NEMA, because now when the competent authority exercises that function in terms of NEMA. So this is the right place to put it in, and we agree with this insertion, Chair.
But the point is, if this has come out of the mining one and we want to put it in here, then this must relate specifically to mining. This is not relating to mining, it is a general clause. So it's any company that creates any negative impact.
Chair, I think the idea is that it's deliberately broad, because if an activity has an environmental impact and that impact only surfaces later, we need to be able to hold those directors liable for that damage or degradation, and not have the situation that we currently sit with where we're dealing with legacy issues and there's insufficient recourse, basically.
But if this thing, if we're saying we're replacing something that was a mining act, do we want to now just make it broad like this and apply to anything without having properly looked at it and properly looked at its implications?
Chair, we can reconsider it, but as I'm saying, the idea is that if there's any negative impact on the environment, for example, damage, degradation, pollution, whether it's caused advertently or inadvertently, somebody must be held liable or be able to be held liable for rectifying that situation. And usually what happens if it's a company or a close corporation, they perform the activity and then the company goes into liquidation or whatever the case is, and ultimately there's nobody that you can hold liable.
Yeah, but you see, this libel is not to fix that up. This libel is for a court case. Just jointly or severably liable. So all that does is it doesn't give you the power now to make sure that they fix it up. This only allows you to now go and do it, which you have to do in any case. That's what I'm saying. I can see that if it's taken out of a mining act that you want to retain it somewhere, but then it should apply to mining, because, I mean, as we look at all the consequences of what this will mean, now you have a whole clause, 24G, that if there's been unlawful activity, and now gives minister wide powers to start letting them fix it up, da-da-da. So all I'm just saying is I'm not in principle opposed to this. I'm just looking at you taking something and then just making it applicable to all environmental issues. And it's, what is this? This is just a civil action for damages. I think, I'm going to say just here, relook the implications, because as I say, if it's something, now that we've given the Minister of Mining this power and there's no power in that act anymore to be able to do something about it, you know, for example, as far as I know, 24G will also apply to the Minister of Minerals.
Just to draw the distinction as well, with relation to 24G, that's usually where activity has started without an authorization. And it's and it's basically to fix up that situation. So in other words, they either come into compliance or else we shut the thing down completely. So before they can do that, they must pay the administrative fine, and then we then assess whether the operation actually can continue based on whether they meet our requirements in terms of the EIA process.
That's right.
But this, I think, is more, and we will definitely think about it in terms of the implications.
I'm just responding to what you said, the CER said. And then I'm saying, but are we achieving that? Because this is a damages clause, it's not a 24G. So just relook at it. As I say, I don't think any of us here will be in principle opposed to something like this. But I think this is just basically stating the common law. That if there's a negative effect on the environment, then you can bring a claim. If it's something more than that that we want to say, then let's say it. Okay, so just relook that one. And in principle, any comment on that? Anyone happy we deal with it? I guess they'll just relook that one and just see what it is exactly we need to cover. All right. 24.0 on the next page.
24, Chair, the first one, subsection 2, it's a consequential amendment just to make sure that we refer to the correct competent authorities. And then subsection 3 is the consultation that the competent authority must embark on when they assess the application for an environmental authorization. So when they consult the State Department, we are just reducing the time
for
30 days.
What is your comment there on the public comment we received from a few people that we shouldn't reduce the 40? In fact, they would want more, but okay, there's not over there. A lot of them raised this issue. And, you know, I had a little bit of sympathy because I know how government departments operate. And I'm wondering if we do just leave the 10 days there. I mean, it just makes the process 10 days longer. But at least it could avoid a lot of potential problems. You know how it works in the bottom. A clerk gets the letter. The clerk then gives the letter to another clerk. That clerk loses the letter for 3 days. That clerk then finds the letter and then it's too scared to say to their supervisor they lost it for 2 days. So they leave it for another 5 days on their desk to think what they must do about it. Then they drop the thing on the floor of their supervisor, so the supervisor picks it up a week later. Says, oh, but why is this thing lying on my floor here? Then everyone says, no, we don't know, it must have fallen out of a file sip or mess. Then that supervisor now thinks, but yeah, and someone maybe blame me now that it fell on my file. Now they think about it for 2 days. Then they send it to the boss above them and say, what must I do about this thing that's been lying here for? Then by that time, the 3 days are over. Then you haven't even got to the minister yet, who has to then authorize, and the DG has to authorize everything. You know, I would be inclined there to keep the footing.
Chair, the difficulty there, Chair, is that it goes back to the basic premise of why these amendments are being done, and that's to actually align the processes and ensure that the time frame for the granting of these authorizations is aligned and is reduced so that the process becomes more efficient and effective.
What are you trying to say?
The thing is, Chair, that the time frame...
No one has asked you to change any of the other time frames you've agreed to.
Yeah.
The people have just raised this one, where State Department has to comment on the thing. Is it really advisable to move it from 40 to 50?
Well, I'll ask Amanda to explain the implications of the additional time that's required there, Chair. Because these time frames have been worked out very, very carefully, and we've almost stripped the process to the bare minimum to ensure that we still comply with all the requirements, you know, in terms of consultation, etc. So if, I'll ask her to just give us an idea of what it would mean in practice if we were to add the 10 days.
In essence, what it will do is it will add the 10 days to the basic assessment process, which would then give you, instead of 197 days, we'll move it to 207. And
why does Amanda say that means that that's what it does, add 10 days?
Yeah. But the reason why we had to fit this into a 300-day period for the SCOB and EIA and then subsequently make it shorter for the basic assessment is because currently, well, obviously before the NPRDA amendments will take effect, they look at a period of 180 days maximum to issue their decisions. And we've already extended that. So I don't think this department would have an in-principle problem with retaining the 40 days, but I'm not sure that our mineral resources colleagues would be swayed to accept that. And because these processes are now so interlinked, it will have the ripple effect of extending the NPRDA decision by the same number of days. For basic assessment, it's going to have the effect of extending it by 10 days. For scoping EIA, it's extended by 20.
The minerals?
Because the NPRDA decision can only be issued once the NEMA decision has been issued and the appeal finalized.
You're saying it means that they will then have to adapt accordingly. Well, that one is there to adapt. Why are you taking out the hall there?
We've moved it further because we're adding the order environmental assessment practitioner.
Must consult with every State Department and ministers relating to a matter affecting the environment. But those two make sense. I mean, it's only the minister, our minister, And surely it's only our minister and the MAC that makes decisions on EIAs.
And the MAC as well.
Yeah, our minister and MAC. So why do we add identify competent authority or environmental assessment practitioner?
The consultation often happens by the environmental assessment practitioner, but the consideration and the issuing of the environmental authorization can never happen, can never be done by the environmental assessment practitioner. So we've tried to allow for the environmental assessment practitioner to also do the consultation, but obviously that person never considers the application. That only the Minister MEC or the Minister of Mineral Resources can do. That is why we couldn't retain the he or she, because then it includes environmental assessment practitioner. It's never the person who considers the environmental authorization application. He just does the consultation part of it.
Legally, when will the 30 days of running? I mean, you can throw the letter in the mail. That's what you're saying. That's how you consult, then you, then they have only 30 days from when you put the letter in the mail. And they make it the mail only a week later. And then the department has to process.
Yes.
requirement to maintain and retain the financial provision contemplated in this section remains in force, notwithstanding the issue of a closed certificate by the Minister of Mineral, terms of the Mineral Resources Act to the holder or owner concerned. But the Minister responsible for Mineral Resources may retain such force and terms of financial provision required to rehabilitate closed mining or prospective operations related to the environmental impacts which may become known in the future for a period of 20 years. Okay, does that seem fine?
Okay.
Next one, 24B.
No, 24R. The mine closure, it's also the same principle, Chair, that applies to 24P. On subsection 1 and subsection 2.
Okay. That's just a belt and braces clause that just says they will still remain liable notwithstanding the close. Two,
we are
20 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Then the next amendment, Chair, are on section 28, chapter 7, that deals with the duty of care. On subsection 4, we are providing for the Director General of the Department responsible for mineral resources to issue that directive specifically in the mining area. So the mining area will be the area that we define in terms of NEMA.
You want to wriggle out of any, the DG is trying to wriggle out of any kind of responsibility to do this. This is subsection 1, say. It's the duty of care.
Yes.
And you're saying that that director would now send that. Okay. That's everywhere, yeah? Everyone
yes.
Happy with that? So they're just adding, when it comes to the duty of care, that the DG of Mineral must actually issue those. Well, they are issuing the
environmental tolerances.
12.
Subsection 12, it's also a constitutional amendment, Chair, adding the Director General of the Department responsible.
Yeah, DG is really nice.
And the next insertion amendment, Chair, is on is the 31BB.
Is that a funny thing to do that? This is all advice, and see, they're very happy with GD.
Okay.
What does it do?
The 31BB is the power given to the Minister of Mineral Resources to designate the environmental mineral resources inspectors within the Department of Mineral Resources to monitor.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay.
And then the next amendment, Chair, is on section 31D, which talks to the MENIC. The areas that we highlighted in red, Chair, are the suggestions which we made in the during the public participation process, that we should actually confine the powers or the mandate of those environmental mineral resources to the area or the legislation that they will be responsible for in terms of the power that they've been conferred there.
Limiting what?
We
are you doing our mandates?
Yes, we own mandates of the EMIs, but now because we are going to have a section 2, capital letter A, will allow the minister responsible for mineral resources to designate those environmental mineral resources inspectors for the purposes of compliance monitoring enforcement of all those provisions of NEMA that they've been provided powers for.
We designate, I mean, yes, our minister designates. Take out in brackets,
oh, yeah.
Mineral resources.
Responsible. Responsible, yeah.
Huh?
It's minister responsible for mineral resources.
So the mineral resources must come up, but you must add that the minister is responsible
for mineral resources.
By designated persons as an environmental mineral inspector and compliant monitoring of only provisions of this act, or any. Be compliance, comma, monitoring and enforcement of only provisions of this act.
Well, they are going to be responsible for certain sections of NEMA and on those also of other specific environmental management acts. So the compliance monitoring and enforcement is only...
It says only provisions of this act, which means the whole act.
No, you've got to read it in context. The provisions of this act, and then it continues, or a specific environmental management act in respect of which the powers are conferred on the minister of mineral resources. Just again, once again, an attempt to try and limit it as far as possible.
Well, you should say of only. Only is this completely wrong. Is it of provisions of this act relating to mining, da-da-da, prospecting, da-da-da, isn't that what it is? In this act. Or a specific da-da-da in respect of which powers are conferred on the minister. Change that might be right. Not only. Let's be enforcement of provisions of this act relating, or whatever you want to say, relating to. And then, is it all this taken out here? Waste Act, and which are implemented by minister, and then there's other stuff you added?
Yes.
Okay. All right, everyone happy with that? Going to amend it accordingly. Then, 2B.
2B is it's just to indicate that those environmental mineral resources inspectors designated are only competent to exercise the inspectory function. So only those people are designated.
Why do you have to say that they've now said it in here already?
But this was a comment, Chair, a proposal.
Yeah, but you've got it here now. I just want to know if you haven't said that already in A, then you must amend A rather. Why do you have to have a B that then repeats and says? I can't see any reason for that.
Yeah, Chair. Remember, we've included everything, now deliberating, and we can take it out if we need to take it out. So if A addresses it and
I'd rather add words to A to make sure that that's what it is than to say, yeah, they shall be competent to exercise. What is an inspectorate function? I don't even know what that means. What is an inspectorate function? I mean, you and I know what it means. It's what the inspectors do. But I mean, an act, what does it mean if you say someone will fulfill the inspectorate function? Okay, sub 3.
It's a consequential amendment as a result of the insertion of 2A. We are also changing the name of the Minister of Water Affairs to be the Minister of
Resources. All consequential?
Yeah.
All?
4 is the intervention clause, Chair. This is specifically for compliance monitoring and enforcement, where the environmental mineral resources inspectors are not able or are unable to fulfill the functions with respect to those compliance and enforcement function that is relates to the mining
Okay. Yes. Despite the provisions of subsection 2B now, 92A,
yeah,
and 3, the minister may, with the concurrence of the minister responsible for resources, if the environmental inspector are unable to fulfill able or adequately able. Don't make it completely, then it's a complete unable. So make it as or adequately. Unable or adequately able to fulfill the functions, designate environmental, fulfill the function. What function? Designate environmental management inspectors to enforce the provisions of this act or a specific environmental act in respect of which powers conferred on that. Okay? So just tighten that up.
Okay.
Because if you just say unable, then it's only when they're completely unable. But you must also, if they're not doing it adequately, they're able to. If they refuse, does that fall under able or adequately? Just look at that, it may not. Where they refuse to do the work.
Where they actually refuse, okay?
Just check that for me. Don't just check and see if you don't necessarily have to add something here. Next one?
The next one, Chair, is on the appeals, section 43.
Yeah?
The first subsection there, just to tighten up that where the Minister of Mineral Resources designate the function to an official within the Department of Mineral Resources. Also that decision, if taken by that official, then it's also subject to an appeal. Specifically...
Is that sub one, right?
The subsection one.
This is that only a person who is acting under power that was delegated may appeal. You may only appeal a delegated power. What happens in all your legislation if you've given someone original powers? For example, the DG has been given the power in the legislation. It's not delegated from the minister. The asset provides for it. Where will you appeal that? I don't know if there, I mean, I'm imagining in the different acts there are powers like that.
But I think we need to check that, Chair. But most of the acts that we have, the power sits to the minister, and then the minister delegates to the DG, and then the DG then either delegates to the...
For example, the DG is the accounting officer. That's not delegated. That's the law says it. So what happens if you want to appeal that? It may not be relevant for this act now, because the next clause deals with the mining stuff. But I mean, that clause in one just looked to me completely too narrow. I don't know how you, all the other matters where the people with the original authority, how you, as I said, the one that springs to mind is that DG is an accounting authority. That's not a delegated power. What will happen if there's an appeal there?
Can we check that, Chair, and then find those sections in different acts and then indicate where the power
system is? Check it maybe like that.
Okay.
And, okay. But the more important one is, sorry, Mr. Bari, want to say something?
See, also we have to bear in mind whether there's two issues essentially. The one is in relation to the actual administration and financial implications for the department itself. And then there's all the NEMA and CIMA provisions which are then specific in relation to the appeals here. So the accounting office of function relates to more to the administration of the department per se, not to the implementation of the act. I think you must just be mindful of that decision.
No, I fully agree with you. That was maybe a bad example, but it's an example I'm trying to show you that the DGs do have original power stuff. Again, I read this with you last night. 2A. Are we sure that it's only those two things we want to have appealed against the Minister of Minerals?
The EMP and the authorization.
Isn't it better just to find a wording there that says in respect of any matter in which the Minister of Minerals is the competent authority dealing with environmental matters?
Yeah.
That just covers everything in privilege and narrowing. And you can say including these two, but you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems to me you may have it too narrow.
Okay.
Everyone, any comments on that? 2A. 1A seems to be construed as being too narrow. Rather instead of just mentioning those who say in respect of anything that the Minister of Minerals is the competent authority to deal with environmental matters, then it means that's what the agreement was. There'll be a full appeal to all those things. Then 1B?
1B, Chair, is a consequence of the amendment. We are taking out the 1B because from our engagement with the Department of Mineral Resources, we have established that they don't deal with in-process appeals. These are where a final decision has not been made, but then it allows the person to maybe appeal within that process. So they are saying they don't have such a process, so they said we must take it up from this legislation. Because it was only meant for those decisions under the MDRDA.
Well, there must have been something there previously, that's why you put it there. Have you checked it, or you just listened to them?
I think from the 2008 engagement, there was this feeling that specifically on the EMP process that was provided for in their MPRDA, where some of those issues are not...
Well, look, I suppose if you reword 1A to include all environmental matters where the Minister of Minerals is competent, then it covers all these areas.
Yeah.
Okay, 1B then is fine. Comments on that?
No.
Are there other green things there?
The green on subsection 4 is a consequential amendment.
Okay.
And then the 7, subsection 7 is currently when a person lodges an appeal, that appeal does not automatically suspend the environmental authorization. But because now the environmental authorization is a precondition to issue the mining right, and the appeal must be finalized before the actual mining right is to be issued. So what we are providing for with this amendment is that the submission of an appeal against that decision of the Minister of Mineral Resources, then it automatically suspends that environmental authorization and the conditions pertaining to that. So that's basically the effect of this amendment. Because you can't proceed with the next step of getting the mining right before the finalization of the EA issues. To mining, Chair, but it's all the environmental authorization that the person can, that the appeal provision is available to the person to appeal.
That's why I'm asking the question. I'm wondering if this is wide enough. Because it's only going to suspend the appeal. The appeal is only going to suspend the process if those are applicable. Unless you can show me the regulations that already is done. Okay, any comment on that? They'll tighten that, get a clause there for us to tighten that to make sure that you can't proceed, the Minister of Mineral Resources cannot proceed with any licensing or other applications until all appeals in terms of environmental matters over which he is the competent for getting finalized. Actually, that's the way. But she can't continue with her licensing processes unless all the environmental issues have been sorted out and water issues, I suppose. The Minister, okay, what is this extension of time period?
The condonation. We wanted to limit the time or the extension of time specifically with respect to the appeal or the appeals that have been lodged. So we then attempted to come up with the factors that when we consider an application for condonation, we must actually take into account before we agree to the extension or dismiss the application for extension.
Okay.
appeal is to...
Is this applying to all time periods?
Within the appeal process. Is it all time periods?
Present case,
most of them.
Does the Act allow now for extension of time periods?
The current wedding chair is the one that we are taking out, the one in which allows for a person to apply if he has missed a time frame within the appeal process, either maybe in terms of admitting, answering statement or notice of intention to appeal, then he can, before he can actually submit that document, he must then apply for an extension of time to submit, or if that doesn't is for whatever reasons the circumstances he's not able to submit within the period specified in the regulations dealing with appeals, the time frames, then he can he or she can then request for either for a condonation.
See, I think you must deal with the two things separately. I mean, I think all time frames in the Act is one thing. Time frames that deal with this process, I think we have a separate clause on dealing with that. Because the whole idea that we had was that the two ministers must together agree, so through consultation, to extend it. And it must only be done in exceptional circumstances when the process has reached a level of maturity. And that was particularly the appeal processes that we were worried about. So, I mean, you've not done any of that here. You've not, it's not in consultation. The whole idea, if you don't do it in consultation, then the whole idea of having time frames for this whole procedure is going to fall apart. Because you're not just allowing each one of them on their own to extend the time period. So I think you must keep the rest of the Act separate and how you want to deal with that. But then you must specifically, in cases that are dealing with an impact on any applications or timeframes dealing with the mining data, prospecting, and so on, that those timeframes for both ministers must be in this Act and in the MPDR can only be changed within consultation. So you must check in the MPRDA that it's only there also in consultation. And it must only be in exceptional circumstances, at least as far as the appeals are concerned.
Okay.
If you want to condone the process it will be depend how late in the process the appeal has been. I mean, the appeal is lying on the minister's desk ready for a decision. You know, then the chances of conveyance should be very small. If it is on, if the department is, the time is closed and they're now drafting the papers for the minister, then there's a better chance of you giving condemnation. So I think you guys need to be much more subtle here in the way that you word it. Otherwise it's going to undermine the whole process. Okay. Any comments on that? Any redo?
Chair, we just added this is the short title and commencement of the NIMLAT 3. We just wanted to put a date that it come into effect on the 8th of December 2014, because that is the date that the...
Why would you want to do it then?
It's a 3-month, it's an 18-month period. Yeah.
But I mean, why are we bound by that? I have never understood why we're bound by that. If we're now passing all these acts, then all those others must be appealed. And they must get rid of them. I've never understood why Minerals has put that act in operation after waiting for so many years, why it suddenly put in operation. But I've not understood why we should now wait until December 2014 to put this one in operation. This is a whole new regime we're creating. So what must we wait for that regime to run out? That regime tells you that if the in December 20 so on, then the power is going to revert to the minister. Now this act already says no, it's not going to happen. So why are we going to wait till December 2014? You know what I'm saying? They put that act into operation. In fact, it's even more complicated because Alf then picked up last time something that no one else had ever told me, that there are 2 18-month periods in that act. Well, no one has ever said that to me in any meeting at all.
No,
you have not, please. It's been 18 months only in every meeting that has been in this thing. No one has ever said what Alf said that day. I then, when he said it, I said, bring the act here. So the first time that I saw that there are 2 18-month periods. No one has ever said that. That is why, if you said that, you wouldn't use Act December 2014. Because then the next 18 months jumps in after December 2014. Now you guys must go and analyze this thing properly. It seems to me that this act now supersedes all that stuff. Why will you want an act now to run that say in 2014 the powers are now going to revert back to environment? Why would one want to do that? When we now agree the powers never revert back. You can repeal those sections with the 280 months. That's all you have to do.
I think we also just need to check the regulations that needs to be ready before this act comes into place. For example, the EIA regulations, which we have to consult on that.
That's fine. Yeah. Then you can use the usual clause of so many months, and then after 81 and or in an earlier date, you can use that one. I don't like what the state law advisors. They don't like that stuff. But the point is, they're in the executive, you see, so that's why they think that way. Being the legislator, we pass legislation, we should tell them these acts come into operation. So I don't buy that issue. But the point is, in any case, you need to tell us how much time is needed by that. I don't think we should link it to those old acts. I think that's completely wrong. All you do is you now repeal whatever is not necessary in those acts. And then everyone knows it will start. Then you must just make sure the acts of the two departments then start at the same time. You maybe have to link that in the commencement date, that the two acts will start 6 months and the water. You may have to link all of them in your... You'll have to maybe do a complicated commencement clause to make sure that all those acts jump into operation at the same time, so there can't be any mistakes made. Okay, so you're going to re-look this thing with Department of Water and, what do you call it?
DNR.
Alright, so they'll re-look that thing. No?
these are the amendments to the Waste Act. The NIMLA 3 amends because it has also implications for the Waste Act. So this is just
where will we make these amendments? In the NIMLA.
Yes, currently the one that was introduced that provides for amendments for NIMA.
It's a NIMLA, so it deals more in.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
The definition, there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Why are you deleting this too?
Yeah.
No, because you're taking it out of the Waste Act.
Yes.
Okay, moving it. Okay.
Yes.
I think that's just one
sequential.
Application?
Yeah, it's also consequential, Chair, on the residue deposits.
Consequential. Any comments? They're all consequential. Now, the first real amendment is the Chapter 4.
19A. This is to provide for, this is also a fair amendment, Chair, that we indicated that must indicate those areas where the minister may be empowered to publish the prohibition notices, where it's linked to the second amendment, where development in a particular, or not development, but in terms of the prohibition notice, those areas that are sensitive, the minister will publish a notice with respect to
clause that you've got in NEMLA 2.
Yes.
You're just making it applicable to waste.
Yes.
That the minister can actually prohibit environmental authorizations being given in certain areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that will be a prohibition then on mining in that area.
Yes.
So Mapungubwe, for example.
Yeah.
They won't allow a NEMA to be given there or a waste license to be given in Mapungubwe, for example. All right. So it's the same wording.
Yes, Chairperson.
As in NEMA 2, that was already passed.
Yes.
Any comments on that principle? I've not read through all this. It's green. In any case, I can't read a single word. No comments? Next time, please, do another color here.
Yeah.
Something you can read. I think light blue will you can read.
Light green.
Gray even is ugly, man. Like civil servants with gray and suits, you know, really. yeah, if you're one of the same Lord, one's got a gray suit. That's terrible. I didn't mean to insult you, though. I meant all the civil servants, other civil servants with gray and suits. Not you. Oh, not gray, either. Light blue or something. Something sexy and kind of, you know. Or like a pink, maybe. Pink would be.
Okay. Then,
so, I'm not going to read that now, because I can't, but I'm assuming that you've drafted everything as the same as in NEMA 2.
Yes, we've taken it out from the amendment and adapted.
Next one?
Next amendment is on section 43. We are inserting subsection 1, capital letter A, specifically on providing the Minister of Mineral Resources with a mandate to deal with those waste management activities where that waste management activity is incidental to prospecting, mining and exploration activity as contemplated in the MPRDA.
See, I don't like the words is incidental. Is a license authority where waste management activity
selected directly
takes place in a prospecting or is, yeah. Not incidental. Okay. Change that. Just kind of word that is. Incidental sounds like maga maga. Incident. Related. Huh?
Oh yeah.
Directly related or related. Something that's very strong, you know. Not just any or maga maga. Sibu, you big maga maga, you keep people down with all the time for nothing. Okay, the next one, IA?
I
square bracket.
Yes, Chairperson.
So it was added in and now it's been removed.
Mm. So now those regulations will be developed.
And consequential amendment.
And also the next one, Chair. It's also consequential because it was requiring that regulations to be for consultation.
Section 79A
is to allow the Minister of Mineral Resources delegate the function to either the Director General of the Department of Mineral Resources or any official within that department.
Okay, delegation of the Minister. A copy of such a written delegation needs to be sent to the Minister of Environment.
Okay.
Copy, Minister of Environment. So at least we're aware that in writing there's delegations to where. So if you see a delegation, you receive that at least. If you have a problem with it, you can at least then raise it. With that number. At least you're aware of the delegation. Otherwise you'll never be aware of it. Okay. Any comments on that? We'll tighten it, I guess. Transitional provisions in the Environmental Amendment Act. What is this?
This is the 2008 Amendment Act, the 16th of 2008. We are adding a transitional provision specifically to deal with those environmental management plans or environmental management progress that were approved in terms of the MPRD, that any review of those EMPs after the commencement of this Act must be undertaken in terms of NEMA, just to make sure that it's done in terms of NEMA, because the MPRD provision specifically...
And the difference between an appeal and a review in this case?
No, these are the EMPs speaking to those the environmental...
So there's a special review procedure there.
The review is just where you need to... Normally the documents are reviewable every 5 years or every 4 years. So depending on when are they due for review. So if they are reviewed after the commencement of this Act, then even though they were approved in terms of the MPRDA, then we are saying it must be reviewed.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't fully understand, but yes, just make sure that it's reviewed now in terms of our laws and not in terms of their laws, okay? Any appeal, what's that?
No, these are the transitional arrangements relating to appeals, that any appeal lodged in terms of Section 96 of the MPRD against a decision in respect of that environmental management program, and that is pending. When this Act comes into operation, then it must be dealt with in terms of the MPRD. And
why?
It
why?
It's basically I don't know whether it's the other one to add, but it's basically those appeals that at the moment some of them are not. Currently have to be considered by the Minister of Mineral Resources as a competent authority, as an authority at the moment to issue those EMPs under the MPRD. So we felt that it should...
What happens with a case where someone has an appeal but they're not appealed yet, and this comes into operation? Who handles it then?
After the Yeah, after the commencement, then it will be in terms of NEMA. Then it will come to the Minister of Environmental Affairs.
Are these things the 96? The 96 you're talking about?
Mm.
Oh, sorry. The Decision Against Environmental Management Program. Are those programs in our legislation or only in their legislation?
The one for mining is currently under the NCRP legislation. But for those activities that we have listed under NEMA, the environmental program is done in terms of our legislation.
You see what I'm saying is, Jay, you've only restricted this to pending. Surely it's all appeals. I mean, if someone wants to appeal against something that was the power of the minister under the old act, there may be an appeal pending now in which saying, okay, then that minister must continue with that. But what happens with the matter that the appeal only arises in terms of something the minister has done in terms of that act, but arises after the commencement of our act? See, the word pending will mean that it's only, that there's nothing, no one that will deal with it. Because the principle that you've added will only be for the commencement of this act that we will deal with. That surely cannot apply against matters that minister had dealt with. Not only pending, but I suppose it's any appeal lodged in that before the commencement of this act.
It's not only
before the commencement. Maybe you shouldn't deal with commencement at all. You should just say any appeal lodged in terms of 96 will be dealt with in terms of that act. That then finalizes all the appeals there. And you don't use before the commencement of that matter. So reword. All appeals under that act. Maybe all that commencement and pending stuff must come out, maybe. Let's have a look at it. Any comment on that? Just a technical thing. Then, any appeal lodged against... Well, all right, you'll have to reword this one, 7, because we've now tried to look for a different wording under your appeal provision. That is not just these two issues. You see, you're only dealing with the two issues here again.
Chair, I think we will think about that a little bit more, but we also don't want to open it too wide. The difficulty also is that if you're not specific in relation to the EMPR and environmental authorization process, that means there's a likelihood you can also open it up to other decisions.
Yeah,
and during the process, Chair,
between the two ministers, is that our minister will be the final appeal authority on all environmental matters that the Minister of Mining is going to deal with. That's the wording I want.
Yes, Chair. But remember that there are decisions made during the process as well. We don't want to open it up so they can appeal those decisions. We only want them to appeal the final decision.
I don't know what that means that you've just said.
Okay, Chair, for example...
environmental issues, we're now giving the power to that Minister. Our minister must be the authority of all the decisions she makes in that regard.
And I'll give you a practical example, Chair. If there's a report that's submitted to the department, they then accept the report. That's a decision, technically speaking. So you don't want people appealing that kind of decision. They can only appeal once there's a final decision in relation to the environmental authorization itself. But we will look at in-process decision. It's what was referred to earlier in relation to the in-process, and we don't want them to appeal those decisions. So there's various decisions during the process of considering the EIA.
But where will they appeal that? If it has to do with the environment, I'm not talking about the environment, I'm not talking anything else. Where will they appeal it? That minister is deciding it. Where will they appeal it? It'll have to be your minister. Can't be any other minister. Any matter dealing with the environment in which a minister of mineral affairs is making decisions, whatever it is, a report, whatever, that decision must be appealed by our minister. That's the agreement. We must have the final say over environmental issues. How can we have this final say if we don't have the appeal authority? Now, I think you guys might try and be political about this. The agreement is clear. So, and I want to make it clear, I'm not interested in what Minister of Minerals will do a lot of things. I'm not interested in all the things she does. I'm only interested in all the things she does as far as the environment is concerned. That final appeal must lie with our minister. We got that? Okay. I think we're all in the same boat. You guys are just trying to be too clever. You know what they say about slim funks and bars, eh? It looks like a good case of slim funks. How do you say that, Zulu? Slim funks and bars. Whatever it is, Ma, how do you say slim funks and bars? If you try to be too clever, you'll catch yourself. Whatever it is in Zulu, Sibu, please listen and... I can't pronounce it in Zulu, so I don't want you, I know you have difficulty with Afrikaans. But don't be slim from the bar, okay? Okay, 7. Amendments of principle, okay? 13 is deleted completely.
Yes, and the schedule. Because now the function will not revert back to our minister. So this is a... The amendment,
the green
is the proposal by the department, but this amendment talks to that any amendment to this prospecting mining exploration activities.
Oh yeah, now yeah. I discussed this. This is the, where will you put this? It hasn't got a number.
It's under, we are proposing that we wanted to check with the ESECO advisor to put it, to amend the Amendment Act of 2008.
No, that's wrong.
So you must put it in NIMLAS.
It must be in NIMLAS 3. What you must say in NIMLAS 3 is nothing in this bill can be amended. Because the point is, these are all going to become parts of acts.
Mm.
So the only place where you're only going to know what forms part of this agreement is in this bill, in the NIMLAS 3 bill. So you have to say that nothing contained in the NIMLAS, no provision in the NIMLAS 3 bill, may be amended without the prior written agreement between the two ministers. And then you said the approval by Parliament. Now that's problematic.
Mm.
Because approval by Parliament, I mean, you know, we do amendments through amendment bill. So that won't be an agreement. So you'll have to say that the written agreement by the two ministers has to be ratified by Parliament.
Okay.
So that agreement is ratified. Only when those things happen that you can actually then come with a bill to Parliament. Otherwise, this whole agreement gets messed up. But this will have to be, this clause will have to be under where you've got all these amendments that make form part of the agreement.
Yeah.
That's where this has to be. And of course, in this clause, a similar clause has to be in each set of regulations.
The EIA regulations, the amendments.
And all regulations that form part of this. Every set of regulations that form part of this agreement. There must be a written agreement that something can be amended, and that must be ratified by Parliament. Even the regulations. That's the agreement we've got with the two ministers. So that no department can start changing things. What's the time now? Okay? And then that schedule 10 out. All right. And then then we come to the regulations.
I think now Amanda spoke on those when he was dealing with the diagram.
Yeah, but now what are all these blue and pinks and others that... And there's some of the things like this stuff here, on this last thing, for example, that you put in here.
But the
what are you saying? We don't need to go through this because of the input you gave.
Yes, do whatever is relevant to the NEMLA that has an impact on the regulations, we will make sure that it's also inserted in the proposed amendments to the regulations. The comment boxes were really just explanatory notes.
In a regulation, if you say prescribed time frame, what does that mean? I know prescribed in an act means prescribe a regulation. What does it mean if you say that in a regulation? You say, unless it means prescribed time frame, but it can also mean prescribed, as we know what prescribed means. It means by regulation.
Mm.
So what meaning was it have in this regulation?
It should then be read as the cross-reference to the relevant regulation where the time frame is depicted. But I will make notes and go and check that wording. I agree with you.
Be careful that you...
Sure.
I don't remember, are we going to take them by their word on the regulations? Do you want to go through all the regulations, I don't know, Amanda looks trustworthy if I look at her face, but you know, I'd be told that don't take anything by face value, you know. I mean, look, I look very trustworthy if you look at me, but will you really trust a face like this? That's the question you can ask without that. The mind is the problem. I'm kind of veering towards not going through all of it, because in the end of the day, be pretty honest about it, that even if you read through it, unless you're a practitioner, it's very difficult to know whether what we've asked is exactly what they've done. So one day when there's a problem, I'll just personally make sure that Amanda loses her job. Appeal regulations, what's this? Oh, is this a process that was the follow under appeal?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's nice. So this is what the water doesn't have. All right, look. What we haven't done now is we've not looked at the water stuff. Now, I know that Mr. Skosana and a lot of people have to go to a meeting at 12:30. I'm not sure whether we'll have time to call the water people here. I think what we'll have to do tomorrow morning then is just deal with the water people. That's all we have to do still. Then you guys got your marching orders. So look, what is it today? Today is this week. Tomorrow is the next week. And the week after is when we close, isn't it? Is that it? So it seems to me that we're not going to, well, next week we're going to pass bills and things, so we're not going to have, there may be a little bit of time to look at some of this, but it won't be at a stage when we're ready. So what I want to try and aim for is to get all these amendments done to a stage that we can vote on before the end of this term. So that means before the end of next week. So next week, these discussions and amendment we've done today, next week, probably on Wednesday sometime, you'll have to come and be ready with it. So we can see whether you've done it, and we can then give instructions that that is. So it's just the ones that we've asked you to change. The others you can accept now.
Okay.
Just make them part of the you know, whatever color. Make them a color that we've accepted, the yellow. Keep it yellow. Make the green what we've accepted. And then what the changes are, make it some other color that we can read. In fact, change the green also to a color that we can read. Like pink and light blue are two colors. Anything light. Okay. So then we'll only look at what amendments that we've made today further. Then we'll try and get this bill to a stage that we say, okay, this can now also start being processed through caucuses so that we're ready for it for final looking at in January. Now, I haven't discussed this with the Committee of Minerals. I just spoke to it briefly yesterday, and they seem to not be ready with their stuff either. But you must make sure now that the changes we're making are also now reflected in their things. But this thing about not amending and that method of amending would be in both now, etc., etc. Okay. Okay, I'll chat to that chair and see if we can get an agreement. But at this stage, let's take it that we're trying to aim to get this all done before we go on recess. So we then have something that we can read in our leisure. You guys can get some legal experts to make sure that these things are right. So that we're ready to vote on it the first thing we come back in January with all that stuff we do, okay? Are we going to target that for now? This may change by next week, but for now we'll do it like that. So tomorrow, the only thing we'll do them tomorrow is tell Water that we'll have them tomorrow morning first thing, okay? I don't want to hear stories about they've got other meetings and things. I'm sick and tired of people telling me that Parliament is here. Tomorrow morning. Yeah. Right. Where is the venue tomorrow? M46. What is that? 46. That's funny. All right. Yes. No, well, not all of you. I mean, Spookenby or one of Amanda. I want the people that know that can make sure that the technical things, their stuff are not right yet. For example, their appeal procedure. Yeah, you've got a whole appeal procedure. Why don't they use this and make it? That's not ready yet. Their bills. I mean, Chalera and the law advisor, their bill is going to be a committee bill. So it must be drafted as a committee bill. And you guys must sit down with them, and the law advisors must sit down with them and see what they've achieved. What they are doing in their bill is at the moment appeals under the Water Act to the Water Tribunal. The Water Tribunal doesn't function anymore, doesn't operate anymore, and they want to get do away with the Water Tribunal. Now we have this appeal procedure. Now we can't change everything in the water, so we're going to leave the appeal procedure with the tribunal, create a proviso. The proviso is that if it's a mining issue, then it now comes to the minister. Okay? So that is the proviso. Then you must draft a set of regulations, because the minister hasn't got regulations for appeals in the Water Act. A set of regulations must be drafted to make sure the minister's got appeal powers. So that's really what must be done with the Act. But the important thing is that it be drafted as a committee Act. Now imagine it's similar to an other Act. I imagine a committee Act is similar to that. The law advisors of Parliament, you must pull them into the process and make sure that this is what we want to achieve. Just taking that aspect away from the tribunal and giving it to the minister. That has now been done properly in that area. So they can just come here, brief us tomorrow, tell us what they've done, so then it becomes part of your process as well. But that must be all done by tomorrow. Last night when I saw them, those things was in draft form still. They're not fully right. That's why I gave them the whole morning to go and sort this out, okay? So tomorrow morning, 9:30 in M46, please, you guys, Dia, it's your responsibility to make sure that they're ready with their stuff. And it's in the right format. Amanda, your honest face. If you see so with your dishonest face. Sibo, it's your responsibility. Yeah? Okay.
Is that everything? Anything else? We'll adjourn till tomorrow just to finish the water things around mining tomorrow. Okay. And I'll talk to the chair just to see how far they are and to tell them that this is what we want to target. Also, we must get a message to the minister that this is how far we're only going to get with this bill, okay? Tell DG, minister, that we want to finalize everything by year so that we can then process it for January. I don't think we have to, you know, I mean, it's only next week, so there's no time in any case to finish it, to pass it, and still go to Parliament. Okay, that is it.